This week is the yahrzeit of a very heilige tzaddik from the cheder of the chayzer from Lublin. Rabbi Sachar Dov from Radishitz. The Radishitzer called the Sava Kadisha from Radishitz. Probably again another one of the tzaddikim who was the meifis ador, tzaddik ador, but don't have the svarim, so we don't know the life, we don't know the tires, we don't know the kedusha, the godless. He said that he met in his lifetime 120 rebbes, 120 Baalei Ruach HaKodesh. But he was davik primarily to the Chayzer from Lublin. But he was also a Talmud by Moshe Sassever, Moshe Leib Sassever, Nachum Mendel from Imanov. And with the Ptir of the Chayzer from Lublin, he became a Talmud of the Apterov. And he even wrote a Sefer of the Torahs, which he heard from the Apter over the course of his lifetime, in a sefer called Torah Semes. Many of the stories which we have of the Radishitzer are stories about his struggles with his poverty. It was mamash, he had nothing, until he became a Rebbe. So many stories about the perseverance and the Mesiris Nefesh, despite literally having nothing, as we'll see. Tzaddikim said that every generation there's a tzaddik who has the key to tzaddikim who have keys to different dinyanim. This tzaddik has the key to Torah, this tzaddik has the key to tefillah, this tzaddik has the key to parnasa. So the Radishitzer in his lifetime, the tzaddikim were made, that he had the key to maifsim. To come to the Radishitzer, he said about himself miracles. He said about himself that over the course of a week in his house, in his Dalai Lama, there are more miracles which take place here that took place in the house of the Baal Shem Tov. And he was even earned a nickname called the Kleine Baal Shem Tov, like the small Baal Shem Tov, or the Baal Shem Tov Asheni, because the miracles were flowing like water in his house, that they said, this is like the Baal Shem. Such miracles. So I don't have so many stories, at least here, when I saw from these two Svarim, about the actual miracles. We'll see some, perhaps, but now, more important than the stories of the miracles are the stories of the Avodah. That's where the real learning takes place. He said about himself that he came to the world, and the reason why he was able to perform such maifsim, because he came to the world to be Megala Lakos. So therefore, the reason why he was able to perform such miracles is because when people had Yeshuas, they were able to see, and he did it in a way that they were able to be made, and to say, Zakhili Vandeyu, might be that there's a Rebunisham in the world. So as we said, that he lived in such poverty. One time he didn't even have 10 pieces of bread for Bedikas Chametz. That's literally how poor he was. So he turned to his wife one day, and he said to her, listen, if we're struggling, and it's hard for you, then it's because of me. I'm happy to write you a document with 12 lines, basically a writer you'll get, so that you can go marry somebody and have a good life. So she said, b'shum ay finat. So she told him a story which he never knew. She said that her parents were very involved in Hachnasas Orchem, and it was a known home in the town that people would come if they needed a bite to eat, especially visitors. So once her parents, they had to go to the local, to the shuk, you know, to make a parnasa, and they had to leave for a few days. So they put her in charge, and the mitzvahs would still go on, and she would be running the show. So she was told and taught how to manage the fort. And one time, these two people showed up at the door, and they said, you know, can we have a bite to eat? And she said, please, of course, come in. And they didn't come in. And then she took another look at them, and she realized that these were not regular people. And perhaps the reason why they wouldn't come in was because they were able to sense that there would be a yichud issue, although she was very young, would be a yichud issue. So she said, you know what? I see the matter. I'll wait out here, and you go in, and when you're done eating, so then I'll come back inside. And they agreed. And they went inside, and then when they left, they gave her a bracha, that she's going to marry a tzaddik who's going to illuminate the world. And when the father and mother came back, and you know, she told them the whole story, she said, so tell me, who were these people? She said, I don't know. So describe what they look like. So she started to describe to her father what they looked like, and he says, this is Reb Zusha and Reb Elimelech. They were on their travels of Golis, and they came to this house. They smelled something there, and it was with that bracha that she was able to marry the Radishitzer. Yeah. He sailed over the first time he was zeichet to have Gili Eliyahu. Said that he was makabal upon himself, though he was very poor. He wouldn't ask anybody for anything. If it was meant to come to him, it would come to him. So what happened was that nothing came to him. And he needed a bite to eat, and days went by, and it was very cold, and he needed to have firewood too, and he didn't want to ask anybody for some extra wood for a fire, and he was mamash freezing, and he was hungry, and he felt that he was on his last moments, and he was preparing himself to say Shema, but he wasn't going to break his Kabbalah. He says, all of a sudden, Eliyahu Navi walks in, the door flies open, and he comes in, and quickly he pours him some schnapps, and he prepares some food for him, and he lights the fire, and he says, this was all a nisayim Hashemayim to see how you would be steadfast in your Kabbalah and serving Kodesh Baruch Hu. Past your nisayim. And he said, from this point forth, you're not going to have nisyonos like this anymore. They told him. That was his first encounter. We see the Mesiras Nefesh, which it took to have an encounter with Eliyahu Navi.
I want to ask a kasha.
Like
he poured
schnapps
first
instead of crazy. Yeah. No, the schnapps for Leonovi is not simple schnapps. Okay,
yeah. 30 years. It's good stuff. It's 300.
Yeah, there's a. We haven't spoken about this tzaddik yet. Rabbi Loza Mendel from Lalov. So he was a very, very great tzaddik. I mean, Hashem will speak the many stories about him. So the Kedushas Mordechai from Lalov, he told over this following story, that there was a Malamed in the town who was very famous, and he told over things very well, and his father chose, Mendel chose this Malamed to be the Malamed for his children. And they noticed, the children, that before he would begin the shir every single day, this private shir, he would go to the window, and he would stare out the window, and all of a sudden he'd break down into like a crying and like a whole ill Indian that he had, and then he would teach the children. And they told this to the father, and he was curious what's going on. So he asked him, he says, what's this Indian you have before? So he said, I'll tell you. He said that I was once traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and I heard that I was passing through a town that the Radishitzer was there. So I went to Radishitzer and I asked him for a bracha. So he said, he asked me, what do I do? So I said, I'm a malamed. So he gave me a bracha that every time before I prepare shir, we should have a hisayrus of tshuva. So that's what happens. So like I go to the window, and I start to think about the fact that I have to give this shir, and all of a sudden I have this hisayrus of tshuva, and I start to cry, and it was a whole maisa that takes place. So Rav Elazar Menachem was very misspoiled by that. So he says, after having such a maifis like that by a tzaddik, how come you're not a chassid? He was just like, how come you didn't? You see a rebbe like that, and yet you have a maisa, you don't become a chassid of a rebbe like that. So he said, I'm not really sure about the whole thing. I'm not, maybe the rebbe did it, maybe the rebbe didn't do it. Maybe it wasn't b'derech hakedusha, it was something else which he did. So Rav Elazar Mendel heard that, and he said, if that's the case, you're not teaching my children anymore. Says, if you can have a maisa like that and be choshed at tzaddik emes, you have such blatant miracle, you're lacking your emunas chachamim. He says, you forget about the whole deal. Everything is off.
Maybe that's why he didn't have the place of tshuva.
Yeah.
He saw it was going to be the malamed.
Yeah. Such a maifis. Says that there was once a maskil. In those days they dealt with the maskilin, who lived in Warsaw, and he is suffering from a certain illness, and because of this illness he became blind. So they told him, go to Radishitz, people see Yeshua's there all the time. So at first he didn't want to go, so he said that he went. So he was sitting by the Radishitz there, and he told him his issues. He says, come back to me later when I'm having Suda. So he came back later. It was seems like during the week. It wasn't even on Shabbos. So he turned to the maskil and he said to him, do you believe that there's a Borei Olam who can heal you just in a moment? He can bring you Yeshua in the snap of a finger. And he said, not really. So he took a piece of bread on the table and he put it in front of his eyes. And he says, as soon as he put it in front of his eyes, he was able to see. He was able to see again. And he took it away, he wasn't able to see. So he said to him, you see what you lost in the schus of, I mean, I had the Yeshua in my hands, but all you had to believe is that the Bayerlam can heal you. Because you didn't believe, so then, nah, it goes away. Another such story we said about his early struggles with Parnasa Mamish. So, similar story that in Shavuos, he says that he didn't have anything to eat. And he was fasting for many days, and he was spending Shavuos in the company of the Chayza. Even before Shavuos, he had nothing to eat. So he says he was excited that he was going to come for Shavuos, and he was going to have food from Shirayim, from the Chayza. So he came, and he came for Shirayim from the Chayza, and the Chayza was passing out to everybody. When it came to Rabbi Sachar Ber, he didn't hand him anything. And this went on the next day also, the Chayza didn't hand him anything. So the Chayza had some Heiliger children. One was Rabbi Solcha. And he went over to Rabbi Sachar Ber, to the Rana Shitzer, and he said to him, he said, are you hungry? So he said, yeah. So, okay. And he didn't give him any food. It just went on like that. And so he was mamish. He had nothing left. He mamish had nothing left. So finally, he was mamash. He felt like he had no koiches, and then the chayza came over to him, and he said, he gave him something to eat, and he says, here, Beryl. He says, take this. This will give you your koiches, and it will give you koiches to be a manag Yisrael, and to lead the Jewish people with these koiches you're going to get from this. Years went by, and he was already a big rabbi, and the daughter-in-law of the chayza from Lublin had certain tzaris, and already the chayza had passed away, and she came to the Rav Shitzer for Yeshua. So the Rav Shitzer made her wait a very long time. And she was getting very upset. She had to wait like 2 days to see him. And she says, how could you? She came barging and said, how could you keep me waiting like this? Don't you know I'm the daughter-in-law of the Chayza? And you, how could you treat me like this? So he said, this is a tikkun from what your husband did to me. When he came over to me and he said, do you want some? You hungry, Beryl? So he said, yeah. He said, he didn't give me any food. This is a tikkun for that. He needed a tikkun for that. So she told this to her husband, Rabbi Yisrael, and he comes running. He came running to Rav Shitz. He says, he says, what do you think that I did that? He says, the whole thing was set up by my father, the Chayza. The whole thing. From the beginning to end. The food that you didn't have before, the food in Shavuos, the fact that he didn't give. Even he sent me to say what I said. You think that was for me? That was all for my father. It was all an isayin for you. Because after that he saw that after this whole inyan, that you're going to become very great. But he said to him, again, this is going to give you the koyches to leave. He says, Chas Hashem, you should accuse me that of doing anything like that and to treat my wife this way, needing a tikkun. There was no tikkun necessary. Everything was planned and done from the Chayza himself.
What did he respond? Did he respond back to that?
No, what are you supposed to respond? It's Kabbalah.
Oops.
It's Kabbalah. He was once, as we said, he was very, very poor, and he was once walking on the road. And he found like a huge pouch, a huge box of gold and silver. He was going to be an usher for the rest of his life. And he was so thankful, and he picked it up, and he just continued on. And then he started to think to himself. He started to feel that he was losing bitachon and Hashem because he had all this money. So you know what he did? He went, put it back where it was, and he continued on. That's what he did. He said, "Well, it's not worth it. I should jeopardize." He says in the Torah, he started to say to himself, should you give up your dveikis for this wealth? You should become hardy and forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Were you willing to give up your dveikis for the wealth? So he said, put it back, and he continued.
That's a story.
Yeah. In fact, over here, these are stories from the told us Aaron Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. He was a very big tzaddik, and he writes after this. He says, "Sipur zeh malfeinu bina lahavin inyan hasafsu b'parshas." You can learn mamish wonders from this story, and about the asafsu from Parshas Bahalaischa, which we're going to learn about. Such a musar haskel that a person that he has to measure and to value his ruchnius more than his gashmius. He wasn't willing to give up on his dveikus and Hashem, be able to have a good parnasa. he had an inyan that once he was traveling on the road, because he was so poor, to get from place to place, he didn't have a wagon and he didn't have money to hire a wagon. So many times he walked. And he walked in Mamish, but everything, like we said before, was b'mesiris nafesh. Like, until he had no koiches left. One time he was traveling, coming back and forth between tzaddikin, and he literally passed down on the road because he had no koiches left. And there was an agola which was going by, and he was able to call. There was an agola stopped and noticed there was a man lying on the floor. It was an agola which wasn't even yidden. And he asked, can I travel? I don't know if I'm going to make it. So they said, we don't have any room in here in this wagon. What are we going to do for you? So we'll sit. He says, we'll find a place for you in the wagon, but your mom is going to be cramped. It's not going to be comfortable. He says, I'll take it. He gets inside the wagon, and there was a guy who was laying there, like on his back with his arms out. He couldn't move. He was like he was paralyzed. So they had to be very careful. Like how couldn't touch him, couldn't move him. It was big sakana sefashas. So while they were driving, so he started to touch the guy, to touch his legs and to touch his arms. Everywhere where he touched, he had a refuah. As soon as he touched his legs, he was able to move his legs. And then the people who saw this taking place, they were like, they didn't know that it was coming from him, from this Jew that they picked up on the street. He was still young and he didn't have, So they said, stop moving. You're gonna. The doctor said, you can't move. Your whole life is in sakana if you do that. So he said, no, I'm starting to feel better. They said, you're crazy. He said, no, I'm feeling better. Then he touched his feet and then his arms and his legs. And his mama, she was like a naya mensch after that. So the Rav Shitzer said that he had this kayach. He had a kayach that he had. But he was able to make refuahs with his hands. It wasn't an inyan that many tzaddikim were able to do. It was known that the Koshnitzer Magid had that ability. And he passed it on to the Sar Shalom from Belz, and he had that. But they suspect that because he spent time by many tzaddikim, including the Koshnitzer, so he learned this trade of healing, making refuahs and yeshuas with just his hands. That's all he had to do. Touch, and be able to make it happen. He'd also make yeshuas, all types of things. A yid came to him and he had some type of a growth on his forehead. And he said, don't worry. He took a bandage and some type of a concoction and he put it on. Wrapped it. He says, come back to me in 24 hours. Came back in 24 hours and it went away, but there was still some type of a scar. So he says, okay, you had a refuah. He says, no, Rabbi, I want that the scar should go away. Okay, so he wrapped it again. Come back another 24 hours and the whole thing went away. So one of the chassidim asked him, he said, Rabbi, how'd you do that? He says, I have this special refuah, the special medicine. So what's the medicine? He says, I grind up my tapuach, my apple from Rosh Hashanah, and that's my medicine. That's what he was putting on his forehead. His apple from Rosh Hashanah was his medicine. You know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. One time he used many things for refuah. Once some person came in and he said, bring me the shemen, bring me the oil. So he said, Rebbe, we don't have any more oil left. So he says, do we still have kugel from Shabbos? He said, yeah, so bring me the kugel. The oil from that kugel will help the refuah. So he brought the kugel, he put it on the makkah, and then everything went on. It might seem like that b'chol yamam is flowing with miracles in the house of the Rav Shitzer. Once the Tiferes Shleime came to visit the Rav Shitzer, Rav Shitzer said to him, he says, I'm so happy that you came. We have a big job to do, a big Kiddush Hashem to do together. So he said, okay. I was excited to participate in this Kiddush Hashem. So he knew Baruch HaKodesh that somebody was coming. So there was somebody, like an Ashkenazi, a German came in, and that he didn't dress Chassidish and look Chassidish at all. It looked very modern. And he said that he had come, although he didn't have such a moon in Chachamim, but he was told that there are Maifsim here, and he had a son who was a mute. And he came to the Rav Shitzer for a refuah. So he says, Rebbe, whatever it is, I'll pay however much that my son should have a refuah. So the Rav Shitzer said, it's not going to cost you any money. It's going to cost you one hair. So he said, what does that mean? So the Rebbe told him that if you're mekabel upon himself never to shave again, you're going to have a yeshua for your son. Chaim Kinevsky used to make many yeshuas like this too. This was the very beginning of Chaim Kinevsky. And by the Baba Sali, many tzaddikim, they had this in him. So he says, I don't know. He's, this is a very clean-shaven man. He was, a German. So he said, I don't know, Rebbe. He says, I have a chasna coming up, and if people will see me like that, they're going to make fun of me, and I don't know if I could do it. So it's okay. So you don't agree. So he thought he would compromise. The Rebbe would compromise. He said, no, it has to be now, and it has to be mekabel upon yourself. So with no choice, he agreed. So he says, okay, go home, come back to me Friday night. So the Tver Shlomo stayed for Shabbos and came Friday night, and he came with his son. And he says that he took the cup of Kiddush, and he turns to the Tver Shlomo and he says, "Together we pour into the child's mouth." And he turned to the son and he said, "Repeat after me, Baruch." Remember, the son couldn't talk. So he said, "Baruch Ata Hashem," looking at each word, Hashem. Borei Priyagafen, and then they took together the cup, they poured it into the grape juice into his mouth, and he became Mamash Hadar Rafu.
Hadar
Rafu.
One stop talking.
Once the Radha Shitzer, like many tzaddikim, he would smoke his pipe, the loka, the kavanas of Ketairah, very big inyana by the tzaddikim. So he didn't have a light to light the lulka. So he went into a baker shop, and he asked the goyish baker if he could have a light. So he said, "Sure." So as a karas atov, he gave him a bracha. They should always have atzlacha and parnasa, and everything should be good in his bakery. So after that bracha, as you can imagine, like his customers were crazy, and the amount of dough and the production was just incredible. Malam in atava. And so one day, he had a bunch of customers and he was feeling in a very lightheaded mood. So he turned to one of the customers and he said, "Look, what's going on over here?" He says, "When will the dough be finished?" As if, like, you know, make chizik out of the whole thing. So as soon as those words left his mouth, the bracha left. Lost the entire bracha. He came running to the Radha Shitzer and he says, Rebbe, please. He says, "Rebbe, look," it's gone. It's nothing I could do anymore. He says, "You had the bracha. The zionis on the bracha," and then Mamish lost it. There's another such story, and we'll end with this. That there was a to be careful from the kapedas of tzaddikim. It says that one of the great tzaddikim from Alexander was Imre Menachem, and the gabbai here is Reb David Lansinsky. He said that the Rebbe used to wake up very early in the mornings while everybody was sleeping. We used to take a stroll with him. That was part of his avodah before davening. And he would walk with his head down, and he had a very beautiful tzura, the Imre Menachem. And so many times he wouldn't talk. Sometimes he would talk. He would tell stories and inanim and avodah Hashem. But he says the golden years where we had these walks with him. And he said that one time when we were walking, there was a milk delivery guy. He was delivering milk, but he walked with like a limp. And the way that he walked was... And it wasn't the way of the Rebbe to say anything like that, but he commented and he says, "You see the way that he's walking?" And they didn't know, and they said, "Yes, Rebbe, and like, well, what do you want? What's from that?" So they asked, and the Rebbe said he would explain. So he said that you have to be very careful when it comes to Rebbes. You know, many Chassidim, they like to say that their Rebbe is the best. But you can't put down other tzaddikim because you think your Rebbe is the best. So, because the Radha Shitzer was a big Baal Maifei, so he had his nagdas from Pshischa and from the Kutzker, you know, they were not into that at all. And there was once a Pshischa Chassid who came Friday night to the Tish of the Radha Shitzer, and he wanted to make shtick. So what he did was that he took the bottle of wine and he poured out the wine, and instead he poured something else inside, which wasn't wine, and he wanted to see, you know what the Rebbe will do with that. So he says, as soon as the Radha Shitzer came to the table, and he looked at the bottle of wine, didn't have to pour it, didn't have to taste it, nothing. He looked at the bottle of wine, and in the left of his mouth, he says, in the same way that I pick up this bottle and I move it, so too whoever put this bottle there, they're going to have lots of movements from now through all their diaries. He gave like a certain expeda that he had on that he, you know, everything by the tzaddik, you know, if they have their makbid, not that they're makbid, it's just that everything by the tzaddik, every word, every inyan, all the oilemists are telling that. All of Klai Yisrael, everything is hanging in the balance of the avoid, especially Friday night, the kiddush of the tzaddik. He says, you know, on the one hand, you know, to not hold of a rebbe, maybe, but to do a shtick like that, you know, you don't play around like that. Even if you think that another tzaddik is not your rebbe, you don't do that. So these words left his mouth. And so the Emir Menachem said, "You see this guy walking with a limp like that, he's from the generations of that man who played around with the bottles. That's the kapeid of the tzaddik, and how far reaching the kapeid of the tzaddik was." So he knew. I don't know if he knew, but Ma'aser in the Bruch HaKodesh says, this is from that mice, that this guy's walking. That's why he mentioned that. It's not the nicest story to leave off with, but yeah. That's right. So see y'all can name him up.